I love worshiping in this place. It's amazing. God is so good. So many times I sit there on the front row and I think, really? I'm getting to sing right here with these people in this place in this way. God is so good. And I'm excited standing before you today and opening God's Word. You can go ahead and take your Bibles and open them to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at some verses of Scripture there that in just a moment. And I want to put on a specific hat today, not the CEO, not the COO or the CFO or the CTO. There's so many of them now. I don't think this one makes the list, but I want to be the CRO this morning. I want to be the chief reminding officer. A lot of that's kind of like parenting, isn't it? Don't you just feel like a lot of times you're just reminding, or turn the lights off, turn the lights off, turn the lights off. But today, as your pastor, I want to take a few minutes to be the reminding pastor. And what I read today, I'm certain that you've read before. What I say today, if you've been around here for a few years, you've heard it said before in some form or fashion, in some environment here. But it's so critical for us. Today has the feel of being the start of a new season for us. You can tell it on the property, the parking, the getting in, getting a seat, and kids checked in, teenagers, promotion Sunday for our kids, fifth graders are moving into our youth group, and students are coming back to school, and schools are getting started back locally, and we're just moments away, just a few days away from University of Georgia students starting class already. You can tell by the influx of U-Hauls around town. We've all eaten downtown for the last time until next summer. And so we feel it in the air. And today I want to remind us of who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, where we're going. And I want some words to stick in your mind. There's no doubt around you somewhere today, you've already spotted a W like this. It's in lots of places. It's on people's shirts. It's on printed material. It's on banners. It's what, when you see that logo, that W there, we're thinking some words. We're thinking location. I got a couple of special pieces here that have been given to me over the last few months. One back in Christmas. This pen, a guy that's a master craftsman in our church with woodworking, built this pen for me, and he came up and he gave it to me as a handmade piece. He put it together. He had carved it, sanded it, polished it, shined it, and the wood on this pen comes from olive wood from Jerusalem, and carved or burned into this wood is that W, like you see on my shirt right here with the bar through it, and it just says Watkinsville First Baptist. It's a precious piece to me. This week, a man in our church who's a master craftsman with pottery put in my hands this mug that he had handmade. And you see the W right here in front of you today. It's special to me. Now, some things that you may not know this about. I'm weird in a lot of ways. And you know probably that I'm weird. You just don't know the ways that I'm weird. But one of the ways that you might find weird is that each morning I drink a cup of coffee and I strategically take time to choose which mug I'm going to use on that particular day, because that particular mug informs my prayer time and how I pray and who I'm going to pray for. On Wednesdays, I pray for the world. And every Wednesday, I choose a cup that has come from a place where we have relationships or we have friends from our church that are serving in those areas. And it reminds me to pray for those individuals. And so each day there's something kind of like this. And so this mug bearing the W there just become precious to me. The real issue is I want to know what comes to your mind when you see the W. There's some things that I pray for, and this morning I want to give you five words that come to mind that I hope will come to your mind and heart when you see that W. Now, all over town, you'll see signs and billboards that say, commit to the G. I guess in a riding the coattails a little bit, I want to ask you today to commit to the W. I want you to think about what it means to be a part of this church family and what's behind that W. And we're going to get to that, and let's look at these verses. If there was ever a time where you felt like, I need a reset spiritually, I need to know what I'm doing, what God has done, where this is all headed. The real story, 1 Peter chapter 1, read it. And it'll reset you. And let's do that together right now. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Can you imagine getting a letter like that as a believer? You've been scattered because of persecution. You're living in an unfamiliar area, and an apostle of Jesus Christ sends you this letter. We read on verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Think about that. The outcome of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Amen. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare in your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Verse 9 of chapter 2, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So I want to take these verses and just remind you that there's, in those verses, all the questions of who are we, what are we doing, why are we doing it, where are we going, what's our hope, what's our goal, what's our purpose. It is jam-packed into 1 Peter chapter 1 and these verses of chapter 2 that I just read for you. And I want to kind of build this message together off of five words that all relate to this W that you see around here. And just to kind of help us grab a hold of it as a remembering tool. When you see this letter, W, what comes to mind? I pray this. Number one, the Word of God. No apologies, no compromise, no changes, the Word of God. We see it in 1 Peter when he's speaking. He talks about preaching the good news to you in verse 12. And then you get into verse 23. He says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Think about this living and abiding Word of God. All flesh is like grass, all glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. One of the greatest joys of my life is to be able to stand before you every Sunday morning and say to you, all right, let's open our Bibles. Let's open the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And it says in chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. You see, this book that we call the Word of God, if you took all of these 66 books and you turned it into flesh, you would get the person of Jesus Christ. And if you took the person of Jesus Christ and you put his life somehow into print, you would get the 66 books of this Bible. I'm excited and 2 weeks, August 20th, we're going to open our Bibles to the last book of the Bible. And we're going to study together this fall through chapter by chapter the book of Revelation. I've said it. It's out there. We're doing it. All right? And in this great letter, here's the great glory of this. The book of Revelation, we want to think, when? When God gave us the book of Revelation, he wanted us to think who? He wanted us to see revealed before us the person of Jesus Christ. And it's not a book about dates and times and specific prophecies about how we can set our calendar. It's a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that's why we cling to this word. That's why we teach it and preach it and memorize it and meditate on it. Live by it, shape our church by it, have it as a foundation for our life and marriage and parenting and careers. The Gospels tell us that if we build our life on anything else other than the Word of God, we're like building our life on sand, that when the storm comes, you're going to be washed away and you're going to be crumbled and you're going to be destroyed. But if you build your life on the Word of God, it's this rock of a foundation so that when the storms come, you'll stand your ground. When you see that W on a chest or on a banner or on a cup or written in the sky with an airplane, think the Word. One of the things we're trying to do here is to get better at teaching the Word. In your Sunday paper today, there's information of how you can be a part of some training that we're going to do over the next couple of weeks. It tells you how to be a part of that. If you teach a small group or teach a Sunday class or lead a Bible study, or maybe you're not, but you think you might one day. We're bringing some people together that have been teaching for a lot of years and just say, tell us how you do it. Tell us how you study the Bible. Tell us how you build a lesson. Tell us how you communicate it to a group of people. And it'd be an opportunity for you to come and just add some tools to the toolbox on how you can teach the Word of God. It's important. The second word that I hope you'll think of when you see this letter, W, is the word worship. Worship. The end for us is not to just have our sins forgiven. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a worshipful relationship. God has made us with a God-sized, like God has made us, and then when we sin, we have this God-sized hole that the only thing that will fit in there is a relationship with God. It's a worshiping of God. You meet people all the time who don't know the God that you love. You know what they are? They're worshipers of something. They're worshipers of something or someone, either themselves or a sports team or a career or a profit margin or another God. Our bodies hunger for someone bigger than us. And we have this glorious opportunity corporately to come together week by week by week to worship, to express together our love for the Lord. That's what worship is, when we show with our life, with our hands, with our voice, our thoughts, that we love God above all. We began to say this summer, put it in a couple of sentences. Why do we gather? We gather to worship the Most High God, who's King over all the earth, who's the only one worthy of our praise. That's why we gather in a church gathering like this. It's why we worship. Let me pause here just a second to remind you that what we do here corporately on Sunday is so much richer if it's the overflow of worship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. From Monday through Saturday, you're offering your lives as living sacrifices to God, saying, Lord, dead to self, alive in Christ, here I am. Use me for your glory. Today I'm yours. In my work, in my play, in my school, in my relationships, Lord, here I am. I worship you in my life. It radically transforms us when we come together corporately on Sunday morning. As I'm preparing to preach, you're preparing to worship all week long. And when we think about this W, I hope you recognize and you see that we're worshipers. Third, the world. The world. When you see that W, I hope it'll come to your mind quickly. This is a place that cares about the world. I'm a part of a place that cares about the world. You see, when you take the word and you read it and you live it and apply it, you hide it in your heart, and then you worship God with your life, do you know what the natural, I don't need to say natural, I need to, do you know what the supernatural overflow of the word and worship is? It's telling the world about him. It's telling somebody else about him. That supernatural overflow of a life given to the Word of God and given to worship of God overflows in wanting somebody else to know about it. You know that's true. When we experience joy, when we experience life, when we go through things as simple as a restaurant we find, or a recipe that we discover, or a place that we go to and we think it's so awesome, what really makes it relived over and over again in our life is when we can talk about it, share it, take somebody else along to experience it. And what we're a part of here as a church is we've fallen in love with Jesus, and we build our life on the Word, and we worship him with our whole heart, as we sang this morning. The natural overflow, supernatural overflow of that is that we want the rest of the world to know about this. And listen, God has uniquely positioned us as a church family in Watkinsville, Georgia, to, I say this without doubt, that we can tell the world about Jesus from Watkinsville. It's crazy. We say it again and again, but there's a river of people that flow through here in Watkinsville, Georgia, that literally can take the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Just in these past few weeks of the summer, I listened to what God is doing because of people's work, because of people's leisure, because of people's living on mission, because of family, because of school, from New Zealand to Alaska, from Brazil to Canada, just all around the globe, country after country after country, state after state after state. God takes our people to those places. Our resources of people and our resources of money. And just tell you one little story. If you read the weekly newsletter, you maybe saw this week. Each year we budget for how we plan to spend the money that's given here. And so just a moment ago when we received the offering, that money's put together and it's spent according to a budget plan, a ministry budget plan for the year. One of the things we budget for is Vacation Bible School. Happens each year in June. 500 plus kids gather here on the property, 250 or so adults come and serve. And you've seen that, you've been a part of that. And so this year we've done that. We go through that week, it's a glorious celebration. Lives are changed, kids are saved. Thursday night, it's cleanup night, takedown night. And while Bible school is finishing up, others, the logistics crew, they're cleaning up and taking down. Other churches, you know what happened? Pull onto the property. And other churches with their trucks and trailers start loading the supplies that we've bought. They're loaded onto those trucks and they take them. They use them in Bible school and other places in our county. But also, if you look closer, you'll see that over in the corner this year was a big stash of Vacation Bible School supplies packaged up neatly. And they were sent, shipped to Brooklyn, New York. Nancy, our own Nancy Riley, another person went there, working with Trey and Caitlin. Those Vacation Bible School supplies arrived there, and then at Cornerstone Church of Bay Ridge in Brooklyn, New York, those Bible School supplies were used again in a park there to share the gospel with children in Brooklyn, New York. And when that VBS was finished, Nate Tubbs, the pastor there at Cornerstone, sent me a picture. And it was those same Vacation Bible School supplies packaged up, sitting in the corner. So these Vacation Bible School supplies that you sent us are now on their way to two Spanish-speaking churches in New Jersey that'll use it for Vacation Bible School this summer. You talk about stretching a dollar. You take that dollar that you gave in an offering, and it's multiplied to children here in this community, to children in Brooklyn, New York, and to children in New Jersey. And I don't know what happens after it gets to New Jersey from this point. But I want you to see that through resources and giving and people that we can tell the world about Jesus Christ. Another thing that God is doing is that he's calling people out of our church family to take the gospel to parts of the world where it's unknown. And there are several of you right now, I know you've shared it with me, probably some I don't know about, that God is working in your heart and life, believing that he's calling you and your family, people of all ages, to live on mission in another culture or another part of the world. Some of you have already answered that call. This summer's been reunion time for us as we've seen our partners and friends pass back through here from all over the world, get refreshed and revived and go back out. We're going to slow down for just a moment here. We're going to take just a minute because we have an opportunity today to embrace a couple out of our church family that are leaving to go to the world. I want you to take a picture in your mind and your heart of Robbie and Maddie McPherson. Robbie and Maddie, y'all here. Y'all come stand. Would you guys come stand with me here first on the stage? Robbie and Maddie, just join me up here. As they're making their way here, I want them in the center of the stage in front of you. And Robbie and Maddie were students at UGA. They've been a part of our church family. Robbie served on our staff as an intern for a year. He worked side by side with Chris Fitzgerald in our missions department. And they've graduated now from UGA, been married for a little over a year. And now they are going. August 16th, today's the 6th? 10 days. 10 days they leave and they go to South Asia. And they'll be living there. They'll be going, sent out from our church, working with Cafe 1040. They'll be working there to mentor students. Students who are praying through whether or not God is calling them to missions will go and live in this part of the world for a period of time. Robbie and Maddie will pour into their life, pour Jesus into their life, talk about culture and languages and all the things that come with living on the field, and try to help those individuals discern whether or not they're called long-term to serve, to reach the unreached. I want you to know them, see them. You got them? Take a picture of them, Robbie and Maddie McPherson. You have family here, friends? Where are your family, friends? Y'all wave at us big. I know this is, it's real to us, but it's even more real to y'all to see them going. Sorry. Chris, come. I want you guys to move down front, and we're going to pray over you, all right? Some of you know Robbie and Maddie. Come quick. Right now, put your hands on their shoulders. Those of you that know Robbie and Maddie, would you come right now? Some of you don't know them, but you're close and you can get to them. But let them be surrounded right now.
Thank you, Carlos. Let's pray. God, you say in your word to declare your glory among the nations and your marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. And we join with the heavens this morning and say that you, God, are worthy of praise, honor, and glory. We give it to you. But there are so many places where those worthless idols are being worshipped and given the praise that you are due. And right now we gather together as a church to lay our hands on and in the power of the Spirit to send out this couple to a dark place, to a place where you're not worshipped, where you're not honored, where your name is not only not known, but not only not worshipped, but often not known. The name of Jesus, the only name given among heaven by which men may be saved, is not known. It's darkness. And you, God, you're the one who spoke, "Let light shine out of darkness," and you've shined in our hearts here in this room through the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But this place is dark. The gospel is veiled by the enemy. I pray that you would use Robbie and Madison in their presence as light in a dark place to lift the veil, to push back darkness, to bring light to a place, to bring worship to your name from mouths and languages that maybe have never uttered your name, that have never uttered your praise. Only you can do that, God. We can't be effective in that, in our strength. It doesn't matter how many of our people we send into the darkness. Without you as the source of light, nothing will change, nothing will happen. So we pray, Holy Spirit, you would fill them anew and afresh, go before them, surround them, prepare hearts, and give them eyes to see the hearts that you are preparing and drawing to yourself. I pray that as they're pouring into students that come, that you would raise up more laborers for your harvest field. You say the harvest is ripe and white and ready, but the laborers are few. You say, therefore, pray. And we pray now. We pray that those who come through, Robbie and Maddie and their team, would be sent out from there to go into more dark places with more just of the message of your goodness and your grace and your gospel, and your light would continue to spread. God, I pray for the team they're joining, and for Andrew and Annie. I pray that they would be such an encouragement and help to them, that you would give them immediate just team unity, and together they would be so much stronger than they've even been already. I pray for their marriage, that it would only strengthen as they grow closer to you, and as they go on this new adventure together, their love for each other would grow. I pray as they learn language, that you would just loosen their minds and their tongues to learn quickly so they can speak the glorious truths of your gospel in the heart language of people that so desperately need to hear it. And now, God, we just, as their church, as their friends and family, we give them to you. We say that they're yours, and only through you and through your power and for your name can anything happen. We want it to for your sake, and we pray that it will be. Pray that you would take them and use them for your name's sake, for your glory's sake, and we send them out in the powerful name of our King Jesus, who all this is for. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you let Robbie and Maddie hear your support and your sending right now? Just clap them, love on them. Another thing that happens because of the uniqueness of our community is it's tied to business here, it's tied to the university here, it's tied maybe to the age of individuals that come through here, but there are people that are called out and they go to work in what we would call kind of, I don't mean this flippantly, but sort of typical mission settings. With agencies and that sort of thing, but there are also many of you and many in our church family that go as missionaries to other places, but it's what's taken you there is your life, it's your job, or it's your family, it's a career. And we see that last Sunday, as I spoke to people after each service, someone was waiting behind me, and when I turned around, I saw his family, and it happened repeatedly last Sunday, of people telling me they were leaving. And usually if people are telling you they're leaving, that's a good sign. So they're willing to tell you. And so they're standing here and I look, and this couple says, "We're moving to Ohio. This is our last Sunday." And I listen to that, and they talk about their job, and they've taken a job in Cincinnati. The next hour worship goes when this couple standing there, and they said, "Hey, this is our last Sunday. We're moving to North Carolina. We've taken a job in North Carolina." There were actually five families by Monday morning that had shared with me that their time was drawing to an end here. And I think to myself, that stinks, is what I think. But then it's like the Lord just, "Hey, preacher, river, remember the river. People come, they go, and here's the prayer. I'm telling you, pray this over and over and over again. When people come here, they fall in love with Jesus all over again. And they can get a taste of a gloriously healthy local church. And change the stories out there of church getting bad press. People say, 'I don't want to be a part of the church. I love Jesus, but I don't know if I love his people.'" And you hear the stories. And just pray again and again, "Lord, let people come through here and see and experience and taste. Let us be a part of a healthy, vibrant, passionate local church." And when you do move them, what we hear over and over again is people saying, like these families last week, "Can you help us find a church in Ohio? Can you help us find a church in North Carolina?" And just on and on and on. And here's what I pray, "Lord, let that family, first thing, find that local church and go into it as servants to help, because they love the local church so much. They've grown and they're ready to go. And they land in that local church and they speak to the pastor on their way out and they say, 'Hey, we're new in this community. We moved here from Watkinsville. We're excited about being here. We want to serve. We want to pour our life into this place.'" And that pastor goes home to his wife that day. He said, "Honey, I ain't gonna quit. God has sent us some help. God has sent us some help." And I'm telling you, folks, all over this nation. There are pastors like that. And as God works in the midst of this congregation, one of the things that he's doing is that he brings people into our path. And one of the things we got to do is give them an opportunity to taste the glories of a local church, to enjoy being a part of the bride of Christ, and then carry that on to the rest of the world. Y'all with me? You understand? And it's a part of us impacting the world for Jesus. Well, let me give you another word. When you see the word, when you see the letter W, I hope you'll think the word worship and world. And the fourth word, and you could preach this, you got to see is Watkinsville. That's really why we're talking about a W today, I guess, instead of an S or something else. But it sure does work. And so Watkinsville. And we get excited about the world. But friends, we cannot forget our backyard. And God has given us specific responsibility in Watkinsville to have an impact for the glory of Christ on our community. And the quickest way I know to help us understand a little bit about our community is just these brief numbers. And I'm talking just Oconee County, and they're just multiplied over and over again if you take that into Clark and Madison and Morgan counties and wherever you drive from. But just in Oconee County alone, there'll be close to 8,000, maybe over 8,000 students, kindergarten through 12th grade this fall. Kindergarten through 12th grade, just over 8,000. In the publicly funded schools, just over 7,000. You mix the hundreds of privately funded schools, you mix the hundreds of homeschoolers in Oconee County, you get over 8,000 students in this county. And what comes with K through 12th grade are parents and grandparents and friends and everything that's wrapped up in a such a young community. In just a few days, we'll find that over 36,000 people will be enrolled at University of Georgia. About maybe 33,000 of those or so right here in the city. And those 36,000 students coming at a time in their life where they're making career choices and life decisions just 5 minutes from our door right here at University of North Georgia, Oconee campus. There'll be over 2,500 students enrolled right there. And I don't know what the profile is of the 2017 class at UGA, but if you go back to last fall, 2016 class of UGA, over 5,500 first-year students. 5,500 people, all just enjoy this week. 5,500 new drivers in Athens this week. And they come here, and that 5,500 first-year students in 2016, there were 51 different countries. 51 different countries, 138 different counties of Georgia, 51 different countries represented in the 2016 first-year class at UGA. I'm telling you, from where we are, we can take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's the community that we live in. And we can reach farther and do more for the gospel of Jesus Christ if we have a strong base. If we have a strong base. And there are six things that I think we've got to strengthen in our church moving ahead. And I got to tell you, those six things, I got a lot left here to say, and we're out of time. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just be like the plane over Atlanta, okay? I just need you in a holding pattern until next week. There's no way I can land this right now, all right? I got 1-0. I got no time. But if you just stay in the air with me till next Sunday, come back. And I want to finish out these six ways that we've got to strengthen. I'm not going to send you out, though, without the last word of the five, all right? Some of you just, you won't live this week. But so the five words, the word worship. the world, Watkinsville, and then our word, wholehearted, wholehearted. I hope that's what you'll think when you see the W, and I hope today, ultimately, that you will commit to Christ and that you might find that the best way for you to serve Christ and bring Him glory would be by committing to the W, would be committing to Watkinsville. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We need you. We're desperately dependent on you. Thank you for using us. Thank you for positioning us in such a unique place to take your glory to the world. And God, we are so privileged to be in on it, to be used by you. And find us faithful, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.